Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
He is Bobby Fish, one half of the Red Dragon, along with Kyle O'Reilly. He's got a very, very busy summer coming up, especially when it comes to next week in Ring of Honor. That's because Ring of Honor has the War of the World 2015 shows coming up next Tuesday and Wednesday in Philadelphia. Then Friday and Saturday, they'll be in Toronto for Global Wars 2015. So it's good to stay busy, isn't it, Bobby?
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, it's a double-edged sword, but I'll be honest, I think I like it that way.
Yeah, you know what? So is there anything in particular when it comes to this week with all the different stars from New Japan Pro Wrestling that are going to be coming to the United States? Is there anything in particular that stands out for one day or one show that really stands out in your mind, or is it just all of the events?
I mean, all of the events as a whole, top to bottom, are can't miss. I myself am pretty excited for Kyle O'Reilly and I to go out and put ourselves to Put Tanahashi and Liger, two of New Japan's legends, put them to the test, because it's going to be a tag team match, and that is where Kyle and I that's where our bread is buttered. So we'll see if Tanahashi and Liger can stand up to our test. And so for me, looking, if I just take a look at the weekend, man, I am really looking forward to that. For starters, when it comes to New Japan and Ring of Honor.
You know, it's funny because we sit here as fans and we look at shows like these and say, wow, these are stacked, and we've been waiting for matches and lineups like this, especially here in the United States. And then you guys as performers are going to be out there, and I'm sure you're looking forward to it as well. But is there so much pressure on it, or is it a good kind of pressure considering that, you know, this is what you guys want, these are the kind of matches and the kind of guys that you want to be facing?
This is what you want, you know. I'm not going to say that nerves and butterflies don't exist. They certainly do. And the day that they don't, you know, then I know something's wrong. I really hate cliches, but this is why we do it. It's for moments like this. Back in January, I had the opportunity to wrestle. Kyle and I had the opportunity to wrestle at the Tokyo Dome, and those are the moments that you. You wait for, you know, they're the ones that got you into this to begin with. I was just showing my daughter pictures yesterday of Taylor Swift at the Tokyo Dome. A fan from Japan had sent some to me, and to be able to show my 9 and 10 year old daughter, hey, listen, here's your favorite, here's T Swift at the Tokyo Dome. Oh yeah, remember that's where Daddy was in January. It's altogether pretty cool. So the nerves, the butterflies, whatever else that comes with it is worth it.
Is that what it comes down to with most of society? It's comparing it to Taylor Swift or somebody like that, just to really get a drift of it, especially when it comes to, you know, showing how important something is with your kids?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, when it comes to my girls, I try to give them something relatable, because so much of this, and I've had people ask me, adults ask me before, oh my God, your daughters must love to see you wrestle on TV, or they must love that you're a wrestler, or they must love to tell their friends, or blah, blah, blah. And it's quite the opposite. And maybe it's because I have daughters, but they could honestly care less. So I think it's my attempt to get them to care about what I do.
Do you try to tell them, like, hey, you know, daddy's kind of a big deal, you know, especially when there's fans, you know, at different times clamoring around you or hoping to get a picture or an autograph, and they just don't realize it, or they're just like, you know what, it's nothing to us because you're part of our regular life.
It means, I can only go based on my personal experience, and it means nothing to them.
You know, when it comes to, you know, these shows and everything you talked about, looking forward to, you know, teaming more with Kyle, and you guys have been such a fantastic tag team now for, was it about 3 years, right?
Yeah, we got together as soon as I came into Ring of Honor maybe a month or two in, and man, time flies. I'm going to say yes, but to be honest, I don't know. That sounds definitely ballpark about right.
Yeah, you know, so where did the instant chemistry come from? Because I know that you guys have been in the ring together before, but not as a team. But then once you guys got teamed up, it seemed like it instantly clicked, and I think it was only like 3 months later or something like that, you guys were tag team champs.
Honestly, I don't think we could even tell you. I think when the idea came about to put us together, neither one of us was opposed to it. And then the people with Ring of Honor were, it was obvious, you know, that they were on board with it. But I don't think anybody bargained for the chemistry to be, you know, to end up where it is today, and for it to be as instantaneous as it was. You know, I don't remember it ever not being this way. It was just kind of there.
And it's one of those things, too, that I think you can see it in the way that you guys not only perform in the ring, but obviously you must have, you know, a really good relationship outside the ring as well, to see that, you know what, this is something that doesn't happen every day in any walk of life, especially in this business. And it seems like it's something that you've got to really hold on to or really cherish, knowing how well you guys work together, right?
Yeah, I can speak for Kyle when I say that neither one of us has any plan on at any point not doing this. You know, it's not to say that we won't do other things as well, but I don't ever see us not coming back to this, coming back to the brand that we've created with Red Dragon.
When was the last time somebody even suggested splitting you up?
It's really never been talked about in formal terms within Ring of Honor. It's really never even been an idea that's been thrown against the wall. I think fans have discussed it, and I would imagine, you know, other people have looked at it and said, "Hey, well, how would this go if we did, you know, if we did split them up?" But you know, nothing formal has ever been discussed. And I don't think that, you know, I don't think that being a huge fan of tag team wrestling as it is, and kind of growing up on it, I don't think that it has to be the case that, you know, teams eventually split. I mean, if it ever got to that point, we're not going to fight it. I'd let it happen if for some reason he and I were not in sync the way that we are. But I don't know. I just don't foresee that being the case.
And that's good, because I think there's so many fans nowadays that are almost trained that when you see a tag team come together, that there's only a certain amount of shelf life, and then you're wondering when they're going to be split. And that's something that I hope we can get away from, because when you see something that's good together, let it continue to grow, let them be a team, and then if there's ever a natural time to split them up, then you do it then. But don't start looking to split them up, because, you know, they're a good thing, and, you know, tag team wrestling is still very important in the business.
Yeah, I think you said it, Brian. It's kind of the way that fans or people that pay attention to our business have been trained over the years, is to expect that split, because then you can do something different with these guys. And, you know, people always talk about, you know, when the Rockers split, Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty, and one guy's going to be a heel, one guy's going to be a babyface. And, you know, I don't think that necessarily has to be the case. I've never seen in the rule book anywhere that, you know, when you have success as a tag team, in order to do anything other than be that tag team, you have to split up. You know, there's no class on this. There's no handbook 101. And I'm perfectly comfortable with Kyle and I being trailblazers in that way, or being guys that kind of write our own script in the story that will be our careers.
Yeah, it's funny now, because you look at this, it seemed like for a while there, we didn't have a lot of good tag teams, or ones that weren't staying together for a long time. And then now you look at Red Dragon, and you look at The Addiction, you look at Young Bucks. We're starting to see tag team wrestling really come alive, especially in groups like Ring of Honor and over in New Japan. Why do you think that is the case, especially over the last few years?
I think it's because the people at the top, when it comes to those places, they've put a focus on it. They've allowed for it to be what it was intended to be, and have its place near the top of the card, and at times be at the top of the card, be the main event, be the match that goes on last. I mean, that's the wrestling I grew up on. You didn't have, of course, it wasn't the last match 9 out of 10 shows, but you did have those shows in between where, you know, the tag team titles had the same amount of prestige. There was a certain amount of credibility that they carried, and there were times that you know, if done the right way, that should be the last match. And, you know, problem being with today's wrestling is if that's not going to be the case, well, then you simply can't have two teams like Red Dragon or the Young Bucks on your roster, because I defy a lot of main events today to follow one of our matches.
I think you and I are pretty much alike when it comes to what we grew up on watching, because I believe you were a big NWA fan growing up, right?
Yes.
Was there anything in particular, or what tag teams in particular really stood out to you that you enjoyed then that maybe you even, you know, learned something from now?
I mean, first and foremost, I got to say Tully and Arn. Mm-hmm. Arn and Tully, however you know, Brainbusters, whatever you want to call it. Just masters of what they did. And as a kid, being a fan, I couldn't even explain to you why I was so drawn to them, but I was. Now being in the business myself, I understand better why I was drawn to them, but I loved Tully and Arn. I remember matches between the Fantastics and the Midnight Express that were just fantastic. I mean, it drew me in. I wasn't even all that familiar with the Fantastics at the time. I can remember, but there being a match with the Midnight and the Fantastics on one of the Clash of Champions, maybe the first one.
First Clash of the Champions, because they had that wild brawl where one of them even went through a table.
Yeah, I mean, my God, those are some of my fondest, like, memories of when I was really fanatic about wrestling when I was a kid. I gotta mention the British Bulldogs, and there's teams that I'm gonna forget to mention here, but it was just such an incredible time for tag team wrestling.
I know, and I'm just so glad that people have gotten back to it, because I know that in some places it's like it's been shied away from, or guys don't want to embrace it. And I'm just glad that people are embracing it now, because like you said, I mean, there's so many different guys that have so much talent they can bring to the table when it comes to tag teams. And a lot of times, you know, tag teams in the main event do blow away, you know, the other guys. They do blow away the other matches, and they bring another element to wrestling. It's something that's been missed so much that, it's really exciting to see tag team wrestling where it is now and where it's going to be going, you know, in the years to come here.
Yeah, completely. I mean, that's what I loved about the wrestling I grew up on, was the fact that, you know, you did see different things and different body types and different race, different, and there was so much, it was just the proverbial smorgasbord of things. There was something for everybody on those cards, you know, and just based on the number of people in the ring and the combinations that are possible with four men as opposed to two. It's like, you know, everything has its place. And to me, and I'm biased, of course, but that's the way wrestling should be.
Now, you've been wrestling now since 2002. Has it felt like your career's been that long?
No. You know, because I feel like... especially working with New Japan and Ring of Honor and seeing people come and go, and guys like Samoa Joe, or back and watching a Shinsuke Nakamura work, I feel like I learn something new all the time, and that does give you kind of that effect where, you lose track of, wow, I've been doing this that long, and I feel like I'm constantly learning still, so I don't know. No, it doesn't feel that long.
When did you feel like you got it when it came to personality? Because I think you and like so many other people, you know, at first it's just becoming as good as you can in the ring, but there's so many other elements that go to that when it comes to the personality. So when did you feel like the personality really started to click in for you?
I'd say over the last 2 or 3 years, I had heard for years from friends and from some people in the business, some people out of the business, they would kind of come back to the same thing, and they would tell me, well, why don't you get the guy that I know out there on the TV screen? Even, you know, when there'd be people that weren't in the business, they would explain to me, yeah, I can totally see you being a pro wrestler. I can, you know, when growing up together, we figured you would do something like this. And yet I struggled for a while to get one in front of the other and to get that thing that was natural in my everyday life, you know, to get me out in front of the camera. And that sounds crazy, but, you know, I think it is a little bit of a mental block for people, and I think everybody's got kind of their own timetable when it comes to that. And it for me, it did happen just that way. It, you know, one day it just clicked, and it was like, oh, okay, well, this isn't hard. And, you know, from that day forward, it really made for a much more enjoyable experience for me. And I have to say that since then, like, yeah, I mean, I just enjoy every minute of this.
But isn't it sometimes that you don't realize what other people see because you're just being yourself? And they're like, be that on TV. Be that when you go out there in front of the crowd. And you might not get it because you're like, well, this is just who I am. You know, I mean, what exactly are you talking about? What specifically? And you might not see it because that's just who you are in your everyday life.
Yeah, 100%. I think that that is the issue for people, is that you're trying to make the connection between performance and natural and organic and all of these terms that you hear tossed around this business all the time. So it's kind of hard to put that together. But once you do it, it just, life gets so much easier.
So where did the idea of the fish tank come about?
Oh, man, I was a huge Piper's Pit fan as a kid. And to be honest, I don't know how you couldn't be if you were a fan of wrestling. And I just remembered how, to me, it was a, you know, now being in the business, it was a vehicle to set up so many more things other than Piper himself. It certainly showcased Piper's abilities, specifically his abilities outside of the ring and his ability to talk. And his wit, his ability to bounce between humor and intensity and all these other things. But I can remember, you know, what was the Hogan Andre deal from WrestleMania 2, or was it WrestleMania 3?
Mm-hmm.
What was that event without Piper's Pit?
Right.
You know, and it set up so many things. So I would have to say the biggest influence on me bringing the fish tank to Ring of Honor as an idea was Piper Smith.
What was the immediate reaction from the powers that be in Ring of Honor when you presented that idea?
They were 100% on board. I took it directly to Hunter, and he was 100% in support of it. And just, you know, from that first conversation, it was, okay, how do we set this up? How do we do this? And how do we do that? And I think as we've done more, we've all come to realize certain things, and it's evolving still as we speak. I think the segment itself has continued to get better, and I think we're learning a little bit as we go. And and realizing that, oh, okay, well, maybe this needs to stay and this needs to go. And I'm really excited for the way that it's going to continue to be presented.
I enjoy it a lot. It's funny because some of the ideas that you guys come up there, the directions you take it are so unique. Has there been any idea in particular you can think of that was kind of outside the box that they said, no, that's even too far?
No. I mean, I've got a pretty wild imagination, and if anything, they've probably reined us in a little bit. Just being that, you know, we are a TV company and a TV product, and what I find funny sometimes, it isn't the most appropriate thing in the world. So that's
what makes it good.
What's that?
So that's what makes it good sometimes.
Yeah, and it's a delicate balance, you know, being a TV product, and I think anybody would tell you. So you try to balance the two, tiptoe that line. You want to make sure you don't err on the side of poor taste, which I can tell you in my personal life, there's times that happens.
It's happened with all of us.
Yeah.
You're not unique to that. By the way, how is the mustache doing today?
It's doing well. Doing very well today. I would say maybe a little unkept in that just come back from Japan on Monday night. I've been suffering a little bit from jet lag, so my manscaping is not up to par. By Thursday of the week when this is actually a weekend off. I don't have any wrestling going on this weekend. So my mustache is probably a fair bit unkept.
How many grooming products do you have for that thing?
Really only one. Two if you count the stuff that I put in hair on my head, because I will put that in the mustache a little bit, but then I've got some wax for the end. That is mustache specific.
So what do you do on a weekend off? Does it feel weird when you actually do have, you know, a couple of days off in a row?
Yeah, it really does, because we've been so busy lately and the summer looks so busy. So it's like whenever I look at my makeshift calendar and my notebook that I still have, I always feel like, man, I don't have any time to myself. So to have a weekend off, will probably entail spending majority of it with my daughters, and then I do have half a pile of wood that needs to be chopped into firewood, which I plan on getting to at some point Saturday.
You got to chop wood even though summer is coming?
Well, it's just that I had left the wood out front when National Grid came and cut the tree down, and somebody had come by and inquired about removing it, and they wanted it for their own firewood. And I told them that, you know, that we were going to use it, but I, at that point, realized, okay, might not be something I want to just leave on the front lawn, so I moved it to the back, and now I've got to finish chopping it, because it can't sit on the grass the way that it is, because it's going to kill the grass.
Work is never done, whether you're on the road or at home.
Very true, very true. Not with two kids.
Yeah. So when did you begin a special relationship with Japan and Japanese wrestling? Because you've been going over to Japan now for a while, and obviously we're seeing so many different Japanese stars that are coming to the United States next week to be part of these shows with Ring of Honor. When did you really start to notice Japanese wrestling and bond with it?
Well, as a young adult, teenager, you know, still wrestling fan, I would say the Great Muta was possibly my favorite wrestler at that time. I mean, I was kind of a Sting fan, and then when he got into the feud with Muta back in, I want to say it was the late 80s?
1989, man.
At that point, I remember really being enamored by Muta entirely. And then as I started to become more aware of, Japanese wrestling at the time, and I had for years as a kid lost track of Dynamite Kid, and you know, without the internet and all that stuff, you just didn't know, you know, where he went, but you knew he was gone. And I had no idea that he almost had this whole other career in Japan, which was incredible to see. And so at that point, I really became a huge fan, really started tracking down anything I could. And in 2006, got the opportunity to be in front of Mitsuharu Misawa through Harley Race, and was allowed then the opportunity to go over and start working for NOAH, which was, you know, just an incredible break in my career.
When you were a younger fan and you were a big fan of the Great Muta, ever walk around with green mist or anything like that?
No, but I was tempted a few times for Halloween, believe me.
So what's it like now being accepted by the Japanese audience? Because, you know, that's a tough audience to try to win over sometimes, and they know what is good. I'm not saying the American audiences don't, but I mean, especially Japanese audiences, you know, they know they're only going to clap and they're only going to, you know, give you appreciation once you win them over. So what's that process been like?
It takes some patience because at first, at least for me, when I started going over, it was, you know, I'd go over there maybe once or twice out of the year. And when they're not familiar with you, it's difficult for them to become a fan or to get behind you, support you or not support you. Like, it's just hard for them to care either way. But the more that they see you and the more familiar they get with you, I think the easier that becomes. And they say that, I don't know who they is, but they say that familiarity breeds contempt, but I think it's kind of the opposite, you know, and until they get a number, until you get a number of trips under your belt over there, and they see that you've got the goods and that you can wrestle, and then they're willing to accept gimmicks from you, and they're willing to accept more personality and whatnot, but that's the difference between the Japanese audience, the U.S. audience, is first and foremost, they got to see that you can go in the ring, and that's not the easiest thing to get across when you're, you know, booked sporadically. So I know once I started to really get booked there on a regular basis, it made life a lot easier.
I know you're going to be going back later on this month for the Best of the Super Juniors tournament. How taxing is that tournament on your body?
This will be the first time that I've done it, so I assume it's going to be a difficult one.
Yeah.
But it's the type of opportunity. I mean, this is the tournament that started it all. You know, this is the one that I remember specifically going out of my way, oh, I got to see this, and, you know, being a big fan of Dynamite Kid and Chris Benoit, you know, Eddie Guerrero, and guys that really made their name and got themselves on the radar, or at least became a bigger blip on the radar by doing well in this particular tournament. The history that surrounds it, you know, Jushin Liger, and it's just incredible. To be a part of it is, I'd be honest, I don't know that it's even really sunk in yet. Like, I've got my flight itinerary, and I know the dates of the shows, and I've seen my name announced. But I don't know if it'll feel real until night one at Corrigan Hall.
You know, it's funny because you talk about, you know, being such a fan of so many of those different guys, and obviously we're going to see matches coming up in the next week with the Ring of Honor shows, and you mentioned Jushin Liger, you're going to be, you know, going against him and Tanahashi. Do you have to prepare yourself to say, you know what, it's a great thrill, you know, this guy's one of my heroes of mine, but you know what, I got to catch myself and make sure that I do my job.
Yeah, you definitely do. I have the benefit of having wrestled against Liger before in Japan recently, like within the past year, on a couple of tours that we did. So that kind of helps you with the process and allows you to get down to business. But yeah, that's definitely a thing. I think anybody who says that it's not is either lying or they just weren't really fans.
They're lying. So outside of the matches that you're going to be involved with, what else specifically that comes to mind? Can you think of that you're really looking forward to seeing at these upcoming Ring of Honor shows?
You know, at the risk of being self-centered, I'm gonna bring up a match that does involve me, and I'll be taking Jay Briscoe's world title from him on night two. So yeah, that more than anything, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, we don't even know what you're doing on Saturday in Toronto on the night two of Global Wars yet. We just know it's going to be Red Dragon doing something.
I think Ring of Honor realizes that I've got Jay Briscoe's number. I think they understand that there's no way he leaves Philadelphia with that world title, and that leaves me in Toronto as to be determined.
Any chance that we could see Tom Lawler back in your corner anytime soon?
Definitely. We are working on that as we speak, and you know, you don't know where Kyle and I might pop up, but at some point you may see Red Dragon cornering Tom Lawler at one of his fights.
I was going to say, he's got a fight coming up here in June. Any chance that you could be part of that walkout entourage?
I don't know. I thought it was in July last time.
Okay, July.
I looked into anything. We were booked someplace on that date because, believe me, it was discussed.
I can only imagine with the creativity that he has when it comes to his entrances and even at the weigh-ins, and having you guys there, what that would turn into.
Yeah, Tom's amazing. I mean, he's another one that the chemistry was there immediate. I mean, it was the first time was in New York City, and it was instant. I mean, he came in before the show, and we sat in a room, the three of us across from one another, and we started chatting within 5 minutes. Man, it was just apparent that this was going to work.
Have you been witness to him accepting any kind of food challenge, especially when it comes to like eating the largest burger, and if you can do it in 20 minutes, you get something for free or anything like that?
I've not. Unfortunately, due to our schedules and his very little time outside of wrestling, have we been able to share with Tom. There's been a couple times where we've been in the same part of the country as him, and we tried to get together on things, but sadly it's yet to work out. But at some point, I'm sure we'll get the social thing together, and maybe we'll all take on some eating challenge together.
He's gluttonous, and he has a never-ending pit in his gut. I can tell you
yeah.
that firsthand. So, well, it's going to be an awesome week for Ring of Honor. Like we said, you know, next week it's on Tuesday and Wednesday in Philadelphia, War of the Worlds, and then on Friday and Saturday in Toronto, it's going to be Global Wars, two nights for each show. Many of the stars of New Japan Pro Wrestling are going to be there. You're going to be facing Jay Briscoe coming up on night two of War of the Worlds, plus you'll be teaming up with Kyle O'Reilly for Red Dragon on the other nights. It's going to be a lot of fun. People can go online. You can go to ROHWrestling.com. You can find out more information. If you want a ticket, too bad you're screwed. You should have gotten it already because those shows sold out a long, long time ago. But you'll be able to see them on iPay-per-view coming up here. So, Bobby, I really appreciate the time. Keep up the great work, and best of luck going forward in your career.
Yeah, Brian, thank you. It was an absolute pleasure. Anytime you want to do this in the future, just give me a ring. I'm down, man.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you. Have a nice day.